now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. This is the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. I'd like to start off today's show by saying happy holidays, man. Yeah, happy holidays to you. You know, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy holidays. Whatever you celebrate, Friends and Family Week, whatever, happy holidays. And in respect to the holidays, while you're hanging around with your friends and family and your loved ones, go ahead and cuddle up and get you a bottle of that Greenwood whiskey. And let the good times roll, man. Shouts out to my people at Greenwood Whiskey. Greenwood Whiskey is everywhere. It is everywhere. You can order Greenwood Whiskey at www.greenwoodwhiskey.com. Now, it may not come to you in time for Christmas or in time for your favorite holiday, but whenever it gets there, it will be right on time. Trust me. Thank me later. Greenwood Whiskey. So, this week, man, I want to talk a little bit of everything. I don't want to hold you because it's the holidays and I'm pretty sure you're riding around or you're doing something, you know, you got something going on. You're getting prepared for your favorite holiday. So I'm not going to hold you real quick. I'm just going to sprinkle a little bit of everything in, and we're going to get in and we're going to get out. Right? We're going to talk about the NBA. The NBA is kicking off this weekend. It's actually kicking off right now. I'm watching the Brooklyn Nets against the Golden State Warriors. And I say watching, I'm using that term loosely because it's a whole lot to a whole little. Yeah. It's like 99-71 at this present moment. And it's not the fourth quarter yet. It's the end of the third. So, yeah. Watching, it's on. So, we'll talk about NBA. Like I said, the NBA is kicking off this week. And we'll go through that lineup and the lineup of that's going down on Christmas. We'll go through I told you and my bads. I also want to give you a couple updates on the young man Keontae Johnson. I want to talk about James Harden. Like I said, I want to talk about college football. I'm going to sprinkle a little bit of everything in here. And without further ado, Reese Boogie, we can go ahead and get into the I told you and my bad. So go ahead and let me hit that intro, brother. It's time for...
Yeah, all right. You was right, I was wrong.
Told y'all. Y'all better believe it.
Before we get into today's I told y'all and my bad, special shout out to one of our newest sponsors, 323 Customs. You can shop with him online at 323_custom_apparel. Check him out on Instagram. He has hoodies, he has tees, he has shoes, he has whatever you can think of. He can cook it up, he can print it up, and he can hook you up. And just tell him the commissioner sent you, and you'll still get same price. No discount. I don't hold that kind of weight just yet. But just let him know I sent you, and it'll all be love. So shop at 323 Custom Apparel. That's 323_custom_apparel on Instagram. Now, let's get into this I told y'all, man. Because this is one of the things that I've been hearing lately about this football season. And I told y'all, like, with all transparency, I'm an Atlanta Falcon fan. I live in Atlanta, born and raised. And for as many people who will tell you they're not Atlanta Falcons fans, they're Atlanta Falcon fans because they have their eyes on the game. And I know they have their eyes on the game because they come at me every damn Sunday. Like, yo, what happened to the Falcons? What's we going to do about it? Now, all I can say is I told y'all, dog. I told y'all week three? Was that the Cowboys week? I told y'all week three that they are who we thought they were. I told you. So, this just is the same thing. This is just more of the same. The same issues have been plaguing Atlanta all season long. So it's nothing different. For everybody who thought it was going to be something different when Raheem Morris got hired or was promoted to interim head coach, no. The same issues are there. He had a jolt of energy, but the team is who the team is. And I told y'all, Arthur Blank, a long time ago, Arthur Blank is embarrassed. And deservedly so. Like, the team has become a running joke. And yes, they looked at Raheem Morris. I think they interviewed him today. As a matter of fact, they interviewed him today to be the head coach and take the interim off. But he's not getting the job. For the simple fact of what happened this last week, Arthur Blank cannot honestly hire a man who is getting the same result of the man that he just fired. Because on Monday, I'm sure all he did when he looked in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, or when he turned on the ESPN, or when he turned on the Fox News, or whatever he was looking at Monday morning, and it says, Brady does it to Atlanta again. Brady comes back again. Atlanta loses another one late. Every week it's been happening over and over and over again. And so he has to clean house. He has to get a whole new staff. He has to clean the slate, wipe the slate clean. Because the stench is following you around everywhere. It's like, I'm sure everybody has done this. Have you ever stepped in some dog crap? And no matter what you did that day, you could wipe your foot off in the grass. You could try to wipe your shoe on the side of the concrete or the sidewalk or whatever. But everywhere you went, you still smell like that damn dog crap. It's following you around. It ain't gone nowhere. You got to clean that thing off. You got to get in there. You got to rinse your shoes, get in the toothbrush, get in the sole of the, get an old toothbrush, get in the sole of the shoe, and get that stuff out of there. And that's what the Falcons have to do. They have to get rid of that stench. And getting rid of that stench does not include keeping the same damn staff. You have to get a whole new GM. You got to get a whole new coach. And maybe in some instances, we got to get some new players. We got to get some of these old guys out of here. And I say old guys, meaning guys who are already here, because most of the team is the Falcons are a fairly young team. They're not an old team, so to speak. They're old in certain positions, but for the most part, they're a fairly young team. But if you were here and you were contributing to this toxic environment, and I'm calling it toxic because it's that of a loser's mentality. If you're here and you're contributing to this losing mentality, you have to go. And so I need to bring in a coach. I need to bring a GM in. I need to bring in some people who don't have any ties to the people who are already here, and they can do an evaluation based off of your talent, based off your production, and not them looking at you like, oh, but he's a good guy. I like his family. His mom's real sweet. I don't give a damn about that, man. Does she bake you a pie? I don't care that she bring you water and Gatorade and she comes over and they play cards or she babysit the kids or whatever the player is doing, his wife is doing, his mother's doing. I don't give a damn about any of that. If he can't play between the lines, get his ass out of here. Let's find somebody who can. And that needs to be the culture of Atlanta Falcon football. But I told you, this season was going the way it was going to go. I didn't think it would go this way preseason because I assumed that the talent was better. And you see the talent. We have the talent there. But we don't have enough talent to overcome the incompetence in the coaching staff. Some teams have it. We do not. So we have to get rid of damn near everything. That means Julio got to go. It's been real, dog. That means Matty Ice got to go. You know, you've been the greatest QB that the Falcons have had. Maybe time for you to go someplace else. But I told you, this was who the Falcons were when I saw it happening within the first three games. And it has continued to manifest itself. I told you. Now, in the world of my bad, my bad, dog. I told y'all early that I was excited to watch Kentucky Wildcat basketball. I did. I'm talking about I had been hearing and watching and seeing highlights of this player. Where is he going? Oh, damn, he's going to Kentucky. I saw, where is he going? Oh, he's going to Kentucky. Where is he going? Oh, he's going to Kentucky. I mean, it was BJ Boston. It was Terrence Clark. Devin Askew. Talent. They have a talented squad. I was super excited. I think I even mentioned here the first night when it was like the conference challenges and the Thanksgiving tournaments and all that stuff. I was telling y'all, look, watch out for Kentucky, man. I like Kentucky. I want to see what they can do. And they ain't did a damn thing. Nope. Kentucky has beaten Morehead State. That's it. That's the end of the list. Morehead State. They're 1-5. They lost to Richmond. They lost to Kansas. Lost to Georgia Tech. Lost to Notre Dame. Lost to North Carolina. And like I said, the talent is there, man. They're always young, so you can't use the excuse to, oh, they got 5-6 freshmen. They always got 5 or 6 freshmen. You know what I'm saying? And recently, one of those freshmen, Cameron Fletcher, was asked to leave by the team. Or by John Calipari. I mean, he said he issued the statement that he asked him to step away from the team. Because Cameron Fletcher, like, I didn't really see it. But from everything I saw, let's just call it, he expressed frustration at the end of the UNC game when they lost to UNC. And from what I can tell and from what I'm assuming, and what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to talk to a bunch of people who are in the loop in college basketball and try to get you the total story. But from what I can tell, it just seemed to me like it was a young man who was frustrated by being on a team that has only beaten Morehead State. You've lost to the heavy hitters. And he's only playing limited minutes. This dude was a 4-star athlete. This dude was one of the guys who probably could have gone anywhere else in the country. This dude is now on a team that's 1-5, and they lost to UNC, and he played 2 minutes. Yeah, he played 2 minutes. So I'm assuming that that's what happened. And Calipari sent out a message saying that he loves the kid. He talked to the kid's mother. But at this time, he has to, you know, the kid, he's asking the kid to distance himself from the team. And that when he kind of gets in the right headspace, that I'm assuming he's going to allow him to come back. And Fletcher even sent out a message, you know, basically saying the same thing. I let my emotions get the best of me, you know, just frustrated. I don't want to overcome, you know, do anything to hurt the team. I love these guys, and I just want to go out here and do my best to win. Those aren't his words. I'm paraphrasing. But that's essentially what he said. That's essentially what he put out there. But to round that back to my original point, that's some of the problems that are taking place inside of the Kentucky Wildcat locker room. And I had assumed that maybe those problems would pop up, but I assumed that Calipari was skilled enough. I assumed that Calipari was veteran enough and had handled these problems before to where when these problems pop up again, like they did this time, that he could, you know, nip it in the bud. And maybe this is what he's doing. And maybe this is better for the team. And maybe we'll see a turnaround. But as for right now, like I said, Kentucky Wildcats are 1-5. They've beat no one worth mentioning. So I say here to you, damn. Yeah, man, my bad.
Commissioner Gordon.
Real quick before I continue and go around, take my next step into the NBA. Want to give you a heads up, man. I want to send a super shout out to the Smoke Pit. The Smoke Pit, man, is down in Statesboro, Georgia. It's run by one of my favorite people in the world. Whenever we get together, it's good time. It's like we've never missed a beat. And I ordered some of his sweet tea sauce. And his sweet tea sauce, he has a couple sauces. One is a mustard brown sugar. And the other is a vinegar and chili sauce. These are barbecue sauces. So me, if you know me, you know I like the grill. I get out here, I got some beef ribs. I throw the beef ribs on the grill. And I throw sauce on half of them as they're cooking. As they're on the grill and they're smoking, I throw sauce on half of them because, you know, I want to see what it's hitting on. I take them off the grill, slice up the ribs, start to eat. These are beef ribs, by the way. I don't know if I said that earlier, but I'll preface it with that because I'm not doing the swine. But beef ribs, I take them off the grill, slice them up, and I taste them. I want to see what the sauce hitting on. And man, I hit it up with that vinegar and chili. That was some of the best sauce I've had in my life. And let me tell you a little story about how good it is. I come in, and usually, you know, most cooks like to do this. If you've had something and you know something was tasty, you want somebody else to taste it, right? So you come in, and you taste it. If you pull out the grill, you're like, man, that's tasty. I want to, hey, try this. And they're like, yeah, that's tasty. That's good. So Reese is in the kitchen with me, and I'm like, yo, try this. Taste this. He takes a bite off of the rib. And then he takes another bite off of the rib. And then he just takes the whole damn rib and walks off. And I'm standing there like, I thought you were just tasting the rib. So now I got to go get my own damn rib because clearly I have been deboed. But I say that to say sweet tea sauce, Smoke Pit. You can go, you can order it at the Smoke Pit. Check it out. It's great stuff. Let me know what you think later on. Because you're going to be DMing me like, damn, why didn't you tell me this earlier? Now, to somebody else who looked like they liked to eat, we'll talk about a little James Harden. The last time we talked about James Harden, man, he had reported late for camp. He was out kicking it in Atlanta. He was kicking it in Vegas. He was out there with Lil Baby, Honey Buns and Prada bags and all of that type of stuff. Well, he eventually showed up to camp. I told you that day he'd come back to camp. And they had a couple of days later, they had some games. And when the games come up, it was hilarious because they showed a picture of him in the warm-up. He's going through in the warm-up. And it looks like James Harden has packed on a few pounds. James Harden has some of that sweet tea sauce on his ribs. Because he looked a little heavy. And the memes were flying. Like, everybody on social media, like, they were talking about he left James Harden and he came back Rick Ross. And they had the pictures side by side. They were talking about, they had made the jokes. I saw one with Kendrick Perkins dribbling the basketball in the driveway. And they were talking about that was James Harden getting ready for camp. It was hilarious. And all of these jokes are overlapping the fact that James Harden wants to be traded. He wants to get out of there. He wants to be traded. And he's made mention of that a few times. And it actually looked to me like Houston was kind of going to take their stance and be like, nah, dog, you're going to play this out. You know, you're in no position to tell us what you want to be doing. But like I said, he came to camp looking like a heavyweight. And then there had been multiple reports that he's got into it with a few of his players. Had a couple altercations. Like, one was reported that he wound up throwing a basketball at rookie Jayshon Tate. He didn't hit him, but, I mean, damn. He threw the damn basketball. at a rookie. Like, this is a dude that's probably coming in. He's like, oh, man, I get to play with James Harden. And you go in, he's looking forward to playing with you. And whatever happens, however it escalated, it winds up you playing Aaron Rodgers, trying to shotgun this kid with a basketball. So I said that to say, it looks like the rumors have come around that the Rockets are shopping him, and they've gotten interest from Brooklyn. They've gotten interest from Philly. They got interest from Miami, Milwaukee, and Boston. Like, I don't know, man. Like, a lot of these teams that are in playoff contention right now, like, yes, Brooklyn is in playoff contention right now, but what would they have to give up to get James Harden? Milwaukee. You'd have to give up the whole damn squad except for Antetokounmpo to get James. Miami, everybody that the Heat Nation fell in love with, from Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, all those guys that everybody loved and adored when they were in the bubble, yeah, they'd be gone if you're trying to get James Harden. Boston, I think Boston would have to throw in Jaylen Brown and a host of others to get James Harden. And so now you have to ask yourself, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it to take James Harden? Because does James Harden take whatever is left of your franchise and you insert him, does it make you a winner? Does it make you a championship contender? But all the reports have been saying and talking about how the nature of the Houston Rockets have been to give James Harden basically whatever he wants. And this seems to just be another situation where Harden wins again. But does he? Because I don't know how much interest will be there once we actually run the numbers. Sticking in the NBA, I told you a little earlier that it's kicking off tonight. Tonight is the inaugural game for the regular season. So tonight's lineup, they had Brooklyn Nets and Golden State. And as like I said, you're listening to me now. As of right now, it's about 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It's like 120-94. It sounds like the Golden State Warriors have closed the gap, but not really. They're still 26 down. And I'm not going to go through and give you everybody's stat line. So I'll go on and tell you that after this game, it's the Battle of L.A. and the ring ceremony, as the Clippers have to stand there and watch LeBron and Anthony Davis receive their rings. And I don't know, maybe I haven't been on social media today like I normally am, but I haven't gotten a glimpse of the ring. Like, usually that's the thing. Like, they want you to see the ring. And rings have gotten crazy lately. Like, I'm expecting this ring to look like something Quavo, 2 Chainz, Gucci Man would wear. Like, it's just all ice, and somewhere in there is a basketball and a trophy. that's just what I'm thinking right now. Like, we'll see when it comes out, but that's just where my mind is. Like I said, Lakers and Clippers tonight, and the lineup is set for Christmas. So on Christmas, you have a noon game where the New Orleans Pelicans will be taking on the Miami Heat, which should be a good game, man. I mean, this would be one of those games where the national media will get a chance to take a peek at Zion. I looked at Zion and I follow him on Instagram, and he seems to have taken all of the advice that everyone is giving about staying in the gym and kind of losing a little weight, getting a little chiseled, and it looks like he's done that. It'll also give everyone another chance to say, okay, we fell in love with the Heat in the bubble. Are they for real, or was that like catching lightning in the bottle? And then you have at 2:30 the Golden State Warriors, who hopefully will watch the film of this game against Brooklyn and make some improvements. They'll take on the Milwaukee Bucks. And again, it'll highlight stuff. You'll get a chance to see Wiseman. Wiseman, I believe, is having a pretty good showing tonight. And you'll get the chance to see against Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know, the money man. Can we call him Money Antetokounmpo? Giannis Money? Something? No? All right. Okay. I tried. I'm sorry. All right. But at 5 o'clock, you have the Brooklyn Nets taking on the Boston Celtics, which should be a good game. 8 o'clock, the Dallas Mavericks taking on the Lakers. I'm interested to see that because, you know, we all became fans again of Luka. 10:30, you have the Clippers taking on the Nuggets. Again, another showcase for another team that we fell in love with in the bubble if you were following basketball with Jamal Murray and the Denver Nuggets. So it's an action-packed Christmas day. I'm excited to watch football. I mean, football. I'm excited to watch basketball and NBA basketball at that because I've been watching preseason basketball. I've been watching some college basketball, and it really hasn't been filling me up, so to speak. So now I'm ready for the Bullets to be live and this thing to take off. So enjoy your week of NBA basketball. First week.
Commissioner Gordon.
So last week, we had a long conversation about one Mr. Keontae Johnson. If you didn't listen last week or this is your first time hearing about the story, Mr. Keontae Johnson plays for the Florida Gators. He plays basketball, but the young man collapsed during the game against Florida State on December 12th. Well, an update. I've been giving you updates all throughout, as many as I can, but he's currently being released or is set to be released from the hospital, according to a statement from his family. The Johnsons say that they are looking forward to spending Christmas together as a family. And it's crazy because it still has not been stated publicly what actually happened to Keontae. Like, we didn't know it. And I speculated on what happened. I won't make any further speculations, but I speculated on what happened. If you want to know what I thought, you can go back and check out last week's podcast and just let me know what you think. But there hasn't been anything stated publicly in terms of the medical doctors as to what actually took place. But Johnson made a video where he thanked everyone for their concerns. He thanked everyone for sending their well wishes and sending their prayers. And in the statement from the family, they put out there that as much as everyone involved wants a firm answers, the process to draw definitive conclusions continue. And we ask for patience as the medical professionals continue their work. Now, that was the family statement, because I'm assuming that like me, others are asking questions like, does this have anything to do with him having COVID during the summer? But again, they say, as much as everyone involved wants a firm answer, the process to draw definitive conclusions continue, and we ask for patience as the medical professionals continue their work. So, you know, I'm personally just grateful that the young man appears to be getting better and he's in good spirits. I went through before that, like I was saying, his life and his quality of life is far more valuable than him being on a basketball court. So I'm hoping that everything improves in that aspect. You understand? Everything should be better for him and his family from this moment forward. And I hope that whatever conclusion that they come to, that they're able to remedy that conclusion. And he's able to live a full, healthy, happy life.
Commissioner Gordon.
All right, let's talk a little football, man. So look, before we get into the NFL, I want to holler at you. Just look quick. The Final Four has been announced. I don't, like I said, I just call it the Final Four because that's what they call it in basketball. It's four players at the end of the, it's four teams at the end of the season. And that's what I'm going to call it. So the Final Four has come out, and you have Alabama, you have Ohio State, you have Clemson, and you got Notre Dame. And people look like, Notre Dame? But didn't Clemson just beat them for the ACC championship? Why would they? How would that work? Like, how do you lose your conference championship and still get into the tournament to play for the national championship? What does that work? And there's been some teams that have not played for the conference championship and got in, and see Alabama. You know, that's happened before. But rarely has it ever happened that a team loses its conference championship game and still make the Final Four, or still have the opportunity to play for the national title. And everybody's giving their reasons. Everybody's telling you why. Notre Dame should be in because of this. Notre Dame should be in because of that. And if you're going to ask me why, I'm going to tell you money. Money, viewers, and more money. And you're looking like, oh man, Notre Dame, I know it used to be big, but it ain't no thing now. Like, and you would be right. Like, no, the name Notre Dame is not as big of a brand name as it used to be here in the South. Like I said, I'm from Atlanta. I live in Atlanta. And Notre Dame is a national brand. But Notre Dame has been overshadowed by the type of football that we play here in the SEC. So we don't really look at Notre Dame as a big time football school. But I guarantee you, if you go to the Northeast, or you are in the Midwest, or even if you're in the Northwest, you're in the West Coast, you say the name Notre Dame, or you have the opportunity to go to Notre Dame, and it carries weight. It rings bells. And that's why Notre Dame is getting this opportunity to come and play in the Final Four. That's why. And if you look at it, you're telling me like, oh, but you can't, there's not going to be a crowd, you can't tailgate. You can't. There's not going to be a crowd, you can't just go and buy a ticket and you can't just walk up to the game. Right, you can't. In fact, they had a whole thing about not even letting family members into the arena. They had to probably, I think they moved the Rose Bowl from Pasadena to New Orleans so that they can have family members watch the game. But think about this. Let's think about this from the NCAA's aspect, right? They can't, like I said, they can't sell tickets. So the next best thing, and probably better, is ads and advertising. The Clemson game, Clemson and Ohio State, that's going to sell itself. Millions of people are going to be watching. So whatever advertiser you're trying to give you money, they'll shell that out. Clemson and Ohio State is a must-watch game, because you have two stars. You have arguably the two best quarterbacks in the country, who could possibly be number one and number two going in the draft, in Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. That game sells itself, like I said. But now, at that number one slot, you got to get somebody to face Alabama. What were they going to do? Get Texas A&M? That ain't gonna work. Because then all the haters and SEC guys are gonna be like, oh, man, that's the SEC again. That's the SEC bias. The SEC. And they think they play the best in the SEC. So you would only get eyes on the game that were regional, right? So that game doesn't hold any merit. And what could have been done to me for me, you know, in my opinion, was they should have probably had a play-in game. Yep, you should have had Coastal Carolina play against Cincinnati, and then they earned the right to play Alabama, which, again, it's still not fair. Because do you want to see Alabama play Coastal Carolina? Do you want to see Alabama play Cincinnati? Those games sound like some of the games that Bama gets criticized for at the beginning of the season. When people say they have a cupcake non-conference schedule. Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, Cincinnati Bearcats. That don't sound like it's playing for the national title. That sounds like a tune-up game, right? So in the eyes of the NCAA, I'm not buying that game. Because I can't present this to the nation and say, you're going to want to see this. Yes, there'll be a certain demographic that wants to see David versus Goliath. There's going to be a certain demographic that's going to want to see their school play against big-time Bama. But guess what? That ain't enough people for you to sell advertising. You can't go to any company and say, give me X millions of dollars to put commercials on this game. They'll be like, no. Holla at me in the national title game when you have two real teams. So now you can present the Notre Dame element. Now you can go to them and say, okay, Notre Dame is going to be here. And everybody knows Notre Dame. Everybody's going to watch Notre Dame because Notre Dame is damn near like the Dallas Cowboys. It's a national name brand. And they have fans everywhere. That's why you're going to be able to see Notre Dame take on Alabama. And regardless of what you think, you can think that Notre Dame is going to get beat up by Alabama. You can think that Notre Dame is going to get... You can think Notre Dame has a shot. Regardless, that's the game they're presenting. And it's the game that's going to sell advertising because we can't sell actual tickets. And back to my whole play-in game scenario. Like I said, the whole play-in game. And I know people like play-in game. Yes, play-in game. To that scenario, the NCAA wouldn't even want to even touch that type of scenario just because with COVID running rampant, you could play a play-in game, but you don't know if you're going to be able to play the next game. Or you don't know if one of these teams are going to have a COVID problem on their campus to where you can't even play the play-in game. You have to postpone that game, so now that would set delays. So, like I said, they can tell you all they want, man. They can tell you all they want. I've heard, oh, Notre Dame has played all their games. I heard, oh, they have the quality wins. Look who they played against and defeated. And, yeah, that's cool. But the real answer is the money.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yo, before I get into these NFL picks, I had to take time and laugh. Quarterback of the Washington football team, Dwayne Haskins, was spotted out on Instagram at a strip club with no mask, tossing money after a loss to Seattle Seahawks. Sounds like a lot. Yes, I know. He was at the strip club. They just lost to Seattle. He's not wearing a mask. And he's on, I'm assuming it's his girlfriend. Somebody's. It was a young lady's Instagram account. He's on their Instagram story and live, tossing money in the strip club. And normally you'd say no problem, but the team don't really like him like that for him to be able to do what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, They don't rock with him. And yes, it sounds crazy to say he's a rookie. Not a rookie. He's a second year player. He got drafted early. But they don't rock with him like that. No, they don't. They pulled him without giving him a real shot after like four games. Ron Rivera had basically said, "I've seen enough." I remember that quote. Like, "I've seen enough. I don't like what I see. You're not playing." They moved him. They didn't just put him at the backup spot. They moved this man to third. He was the third string QB behind Kyle Allen and Alex Smith. Like, no offense to Alex Smith, man, but Alex Smith was barely trotting out there. Like, he was a feel-good story. I prayed that nothing critical happened to Alex Smith while he was out on the football field, because so many people had kind of gave him the warning, like, yo, you really shouldn't be playing. But Kyle Allen gets hurt. Alex Smith has an injury. And so they have to trot out Haskins. And so what happens is Haskins goes out and he has a pretty decent game. Like, he threw for over 200 yards. For some reason, he threw for like 59 times. Like, what? But that was ridiculous. But he had a pretty decent game. Let's just leave it at that. I don't have the stats right here in front of me. But he has a pretty decent game. They lose to Seattle. And then he goes to hit strip club. Like, I mean, I guess he's figuring, like, what you gonna do? Bench me? So now the team has to go out, put out a statement, and basically say something along the lines of, yes, we're aware of it, and we're going to handle this internally, and blah, blah, blah. You know, the usual jargon that they'll say, that we'll handle this, and we're looking forward to playing Carolina and shifting our focus that way instead of this negativity. Whatever. But that was just a story out there that made me chuckle, because it was out there and I thought, damn, this dude just really don't give a damn. So I say that to say, guess what? I was 11-5 again with these picks. Yeah. 11-5. And I would've, bruh, man, I would've had a better record. But look, check it out. Who was legit going to pick the Bengals to beat the Steelers? Right? See what I'm saying? Nobody picked that. I don't care. You from Cincinnati, you would be like, nah, I'm rocking with the Steelers. Who was going to pick the Jets, who hadn't won a game, to beat the Rams? You wasn't picking that. Let's be honest. And like a dumbass, I took the Washington football team, who, like I said, has Dwayne Haskins at the QB spot, to beat the Seattle Seahawks. Right? So those were three big losses, and I still win 11-5. And I know I run into people all the time, like, man, you be out here capping, you be out here blah blah blah, you don't really be picking them joints like that. Go back and hit the tape, go back to my old podcast, and it's usually like the end of every podcast where I sit there and I make picks every week. You can tally them up your damn self and come back and let me know if you still don't believe what I got going on over here. So, with that being said, let's look to what's going on this week, shall we? So, games are not going to be on Thursday. You know, it's just not. It's Christmas Eve. It's time to be with your family. And the game will start. So they're having a 4:30 game on Christmas. It's a lot going on Christmas, man. So it's a 4:30 game on Christmas. The Saints are hosting the Minnesota Vikings. I'll take the Saints. on Saturday, the day after Christmas, you got a few games where Tampa Bay heads up to Ford Field in Michigan to take on the Detroit Lions. Give me Tom Brady and the Bucks. 4:30 game will be the San Francisco 49ers taking on the Cardinals. Give me Arizona. And then we got the Miami Dolphins headed out to Vegas to take on the Raiders. Once again, I'm still not sold on Tua, but I am sold on the Dolphins. Give me the Dolphins over the Raiders. On Sunday, the Atlanta Falcons go out to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. You already know I'm taking the Chiefs. The Jets are taking on the Browns at home in New Jersey. I am taking the Browns. I think it's a one-time deal, and they'll get back to their tanking ways. Not to say that they're tanking, but they're losing. They'll get back to their losing ways. And it's going to sound funny, but it sounds funny to say that Baker Mayfield will go out there and run rapid on the Jets. The Colts against the Steelers, which is going to be a great game because the Steelers have been spiraling as of late. I don't know what to say, man. Big Ben looks bad. The receivers are dropping passes. Give me the Colts. I'll take the Colts. I know I shouldn't, but I'm going to take the Colts. The Bears are coming down to Jacksonville. Give me the Bears. The Giants are taking on the Ravens. Give me the Ravens. Houston is taking on the Bengals. I'm going to roll with the Texans. The Chargers are taking on the Broncos. Give me the Los Angeles Chargers. The Washington football team is taking on the Carolina Panthers. Give me the Washington strip club goers. And, yeah, give me the Washington football team. The Cowboys are taking on the Eagles. You know what? Give me Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. The Rams are taking on the Seahawks. Giving me the Seahawks. Whew, this is getting tight. Ooh. Tennessee is taking on the Packers. Give me Green Bay. And Buffalo on Monday night is taking on the New England Patriots. I will rock with Bills Mafia on this one. Yes. So, like I said, rock with me. Check me out. Now, if I have a bad week, I don't need everybody jumping on my head talking about, you talking all that stuff. And now, your picks suck. Whatever. I still have a better record than probably you. So, I appreciate you, though, for tuning in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I appreciate you tuning in every week. If you like what you hear here, go back and listen to the others. Also, follow me on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. Follow me also on Twitter at G Robinson Sports. And like, comment, subscribe, all of the above. Until next week, we'll holler.
Okay, bye.